You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show alongside Trey Wallace, live today at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. Good to be back after a little four-day weekend. I know it's not the most professional thing in the world to do. You take 2 days off, like in the middle of football season, right after the game against Georgia, but
you let us know though ahead of time, so you're good.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to when it just duck out on you unannounced, but
you did.
Well, I mean, this is what you know. My wife works in the schools,
right?
Knox County schools. This is
time off.
Period. This is fall break, yeah. And so my family is actually still back in. My wife and kids are still at the beach right now. I came back early. Just for this, just to be here with you, Trey Wallace, right now.
Why?
At Smoky Mountain Brewery, because it's Smoky Mountain Brewery,
man. No. Like, we got to get our burger Wednesdays. I get that, but the beach, and then you sprinkle in Tennessee football.
Well, I feel like I got the best of both worlds.
I was watching the game Saturday from the beach.
It was great. I mean, it was a lot less stressful knowing that A, I didn't have to do voluntary reaction, and B, that you know, as soon as it was over, I could, you know, go out and
have a pina colada.
Yeah, walk on the beach or whatever, you know, do the whole beach thing. So anyway, it's good to be back here. I missed you guys. Listened to a lot of the show actually driving home yesterday. Man, I had a rental car.
With
Apple Play in the car, and I drive like a 2007, man.
Right.
You're used to that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to take it back today.
It was awesome.
I was so disappointed. Got to get a new car. Anyway, gentlemen, we have a lot to get to this afternoon. Come on out and see us, folks. We are live today till 6 p.m. right here at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. And we'll be hanging out after the show. It's $6 Burger Day, and they do make a tasty burger right here at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek, so you can come on out and take advantage of that special deal. Of course, we've got the Cold Mountain Light. We've got the Cherokee Red. We've got the Helles. We've got the special Harvest Fest, which is the Smoky Mountain Brewery version of Oktoberfest here at Smoky Mountain Brewery. Oh, it's delicious.
I had it last time.
It was
tasteful.
It's fantastic, man. And you had the... What is it? The Thunder Road Shrimp?
Thunder Road Shrimp.
It's so good,
it's
man.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah. I saw you sneak your hand in there and got you two more.
I'm going to get another one, man. You just letting it sit there.
That's the purpose.
Trey, to the head on a swivel here around this crew. So anyway, come on out and join us, man. We are right next to Calhoun's in Turkey Creek. It's a beautiful day out here. It's nice and cool out. Fall weather going on. And we'll have the Braves game on here in just a little bit. So a great afternoon to be at Smoky Mountain Brewery. Come on out right now and set up with us. Join us here this afternoon, folks, as we get set to break it down today here on The Drive. All right. Called in yesterday to the show. I said, and I'm sure other people have echoed this. I obviously haven't listened to everything, read everything, seen everything, heard everything this week. But my opinion,
yeah,
this game Saturday against Mississippi State is by far the biggest game for Jeremy Pruitt since he's been here, and is a huge game, absolutely critical to the future of Tennessee football.
It's critical.
Trey, he's got to find a way to get this W, man. I know they're a 7-point dog, according to the experts, but we got to have it, man.
You have to, because the problem is you're running into Bama, then you're running into South Carolina, and then you're going to get an interesting UAB team. Like, this is the best time for a win. This is it. Like, you got to beat Mississippi State. I'm sorry. Saturday is huge. You know why? Because Tennessee doesn't come back home for another 2.5-3 weeks. You're going to have people time to sulk. And
we know what's coming next week.
Yeah, that's a given. That's a 9 o'clock ass whipping.
So you just have to – that you'll have to take your medicine in that one. But this is a winnable game. And how many times have we said the past 5 years that, listen, we're not even on – forget Georgia.
Yeah.
Forget Alabama. Forget Florida even. We have to be able to crawl before we can walk, walk before we can run. And Tennessee, if they ever want to get back to being competitive, we have to start winning these games that we used to take for granted.
Agreed.
And you look at the SEC East, South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt. Those are the games you have to be able to win before you can even think about talking about beating Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. And here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. That's all still possible this year. That could happen this year. So for all the, you know, negativity out there about the way the season started, and it was a complete disaster. Nothing, I mean.
Complete disaster.
We're not going to sugarcoat anything. It was unacceptable. Jeremy Pruitt has made his bed, and he's having to lie in it now. But you can still go out there and crawl before you can walk. South Carolina is imminently beatable.
Yep.
Kentucky is not very good.
No.
Missouri is pretty good. That's going to be tough. Vanderbilt is certainly a winnable game at home. You can do that this year. And if you win this weekend, I think that, you know, people are going to really expect to win those games. So, despite everything that's happened, as bad as it may seem right now, not even seem, it is, as bad as it is right now, like, Jeremy Pruitt can still save this thing, but he's got to have wins. And, like, it's great to have a moral victory on Saturday, and the guys fought hard, and you were up 14-10 on Georgia national television, and all this feel-good. Brian Maurer has given you a shot of hopium right in the arm, and it feels great. It's awesome, but now you got to win. Now you got to win the games that you can win. You were never going to win that game. You're never going to win next week's game. You can win this game, and you can win every game after that.
I agree. There is a path to a bowl game. As crazy as that sounds, if they could put a couple wins together.
Well,
you got to. Here was my thing. The month of October beginning, I said you got to go 2-2. I think Tennessee has to go 2-2. Beat Mississippi State, beat South Carolina. You get both of these at home. Figure out a way to make that happen. Then you can start worrying about November. If you go 2-2 in October, you got a chance to make some noise at the end and actually turn the season around.
I agree, and it starts this weekend. A win this weekend would go so far as to just – reigniting a little interest and enthusiasm amongst this fan base. And here's the thing, man, the national media trolls out there that like to make fun of the Tennessee fan base and everything and paint us as unrealistic. It's not true, man. It's just not true. Most people didn't. Yeah. You know, maybe we bought in for a second when we go up 14-10 on Georgia, but most people didn't expect that to win that game. Nobody expected Tennessee to win 9 or 10 games this season. We had realistic hopes. We know where we are. We know what this program has been through and why it can't be competitive with Alabama and Georgia and even Florida right now. So Tennessee fan, there's nothing unrealistic about thinking you can win this game, maybe even expecting to win this game. I'm surprised that the line is so high, quite
frankly.
You're
surprised it hasn't dropped?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I was surprised that it opened quite so high. I mean, I didn't expect to be a favorite in this game, but I thought maybe a 3 or 4 point underdog max. But, hey, it is what it is.
State's going to have the opportunity also to run two quarterbacks in this game. You know, you can have a running quarterback, you can have a pass quarterback. We'll see if that comes to bite Joe Moorhead in the rear end, but You know, I 6.5 points, that's a lot.
Yeah,
you get three for at home. So think about really what they're thinking about. They're thinking Tennessee's a 9-point underdog if you really think about it.
I don't know a ton about Mississippi State. We're going to have Neil Price on. He is the Mississippi State play-by-play voice of the Bulldogs. We're going to have him on in 2 hours, the top of our 5 o'clock hour or so. Stay tuned for that. He'll give us a look at, you know, just kind of where Mississippi State's at heading into the game and where they hope to be coming out of it, all that good stuff. So we'll learn more then, but hey, this is a huge game, man.
Yeah. It really doesn't get any bigger. And I know it's Mississippi State, and I know it's at 12 o'clock, and that sucks for fans, and I get it, but you know what? You can go.
It's where we are.
It's where you are. You are the SEC Network ESPN game. But I think this is an opportunity to take for Tennessee to take a turn in a nice direction. And then you turn around, you go down to T-Town, you go play your hearts out, okay? Pruitt's going to send that message, hey, we can go down here and win. Okay, well, go down there. Business will be taken care of. And then you come back home and you get Carolina and you get UAB and everything gets a little bit softer. Get through the hard part, get to the softer part, then you can start putting some wins together and get some recruits.
And I feel like if Tennessee can win this game, I don't want to say it doesn't matter what happens next week. It would be fun to be able to be competitive and not, you know, beat the spread, whatever, not get your teeth kicked in, not get too humiliated down there at Alabama. But if you win this game, I feel like you can survive whatever happens as long as, you know, Maurer doesn't get hurt or anything like that. And then put it behind you the next day and say, you know what? We haven't beaten Will Muschamp yet.
Yep.
We've got these guys coming in here. They're not that good.
No.
Let's win this game. And all of a sudden you got three wins with, what, I guess four games to go at that point. Yeah, and you'll probably be a favorite over UAB at that point. And, hey, who knows, man? Like,
could be in Shreveport for Christmas.
I don't think I don't think the SEC has a bowl time with Shreveport.
I thought that ended next year. Okay.
So maybe it does. I'm not sure.
Okay, go to Birmingham for Christmas.
Or Las Vegas. Y'all want to go to Vegas for a weekend?
I would definitely
go to Vegas for Christmas.
I'd go to Vegas for Christmas.
In Vegas.
I'd leave my family for Vegas.
Well, you don't have to leave them permanently, but yeah, just for a couple of days.
Yeah.
All right. Lots to get to here, folks. Smoky Mountain Brewery, where we are this afternoon. We'll be here till 6. It's $6 Burger Day. The Mountain Light is flowing. The Cherokee Red is flowing. The Harvest Fest is flowing this afternoon. Come on out and see us in Turkey Creek on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Quick timeout. We'll open up the phones, 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline, 546-8200. Coming up, we'll get Bear in here, get his thoughts on what Trey and I just talked about. We'll also get a look at your Rocky Top report brought to you by the Craigner Group. Coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
Knoxville's home for sports radio in the afternoon. This is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio, and the Craigner Group brings you the Rocky Top Report, brought to you by the Craigner Group right here on Fan Run Radio. Tennessee back out on the practice field this afternoon, getting ready for Mississippi State. It's a high noon kickoff Saturday at Neyland Stadium. SEC Network has the telecast. Mississippi State a 7-point favorite, according to my bookie. Rain in the forecast for Saturday, a high of 65 degrees, could be cool and wet for the Vols and Bulldogs Saturday at Neyland Stadium.
It's probably what Chaney was saying, wet ball, wet ball, wet ball at practice yesterday.
Were they doing the wet ball drill,
yeah,
the hose and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess the good thing is if it rains on both sides of the field.
Wet ball, wet ball, wet ball.
Although it is Tennessee's luck LSU game a couple of years ago, like it's just pouring when we have the ball,
yeah,
at the beginning of the second half. And then, as I recall, like LSU got the ball and it kind of cleared up a little.
Yeah, but I put that on Brady Hoke. You didn't have to take
that,
the ball.
No, that moron didn't realize he could kick it off to LSU. What an idiot.
Well, hopefully we don't have a repeat of that situation out there. But what do you guys think crowd-wise? What are we expecting Saturday for a noon kickoff?
70.
70-ish?
70-ish, because I think it's the first win. People think it's the first win Tennessee can get on the SEC schedule.
Yeah, I'm being generous. I'm going to say 60. They'll announce 70.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Mississippi State will bring about 3.
I think fans are, I don't want to say fired up about it because of everything that's happened, but I think the hardcores that still believe that aren't going anywhere, that aren't giving up, realize that, you know, like Trey said, this is a chance for a win. It's a big game.
Yeah.
Got to have it.
We ain't winning, Russ.
Not beating Mississippi State?
No, we're going 1-11, man.
No, we're not. Stop. You don't believe that. Why you be so negative? You don't believe we're going 1-11. You don't believe that. You just don't.
I just don't see where the wins are going to come from.
Okay.
They're going to line up and cram it down our damn throat, dude. Unless Joe Moorhead's just a complete and utter imbecile. They're going to line up and they're going to run it between the guards straight at us, and we can't tackle.
Wait, do you think they can run it as good as Georgia did?
I think they can grind us into hamburger meat by the fourth quarter.
No, that's not what I asked. Do you think they can run it as well as Georgia? No.
As well as Georgia? Do I think they can run it against us successfully?
Do you think they can run it as well as Georgia?
It doesn't matter whether or not they can run it as well as Georgia, Russell.
Did we not get stops? Did we not get a couple of stops?
Yeah, against third and twos, fourth and ones.
We tripped and fell and tangled some legs up. These guys don't tackle. Our front seven doesn't tackle. They arm tackle.
I mean, I saw a third and short and a fourth and short that our D-line blew up, and Henry Toto wrapped up and made the tackle. He's in the front seven last I checked.
That's the exception rather than the rule with this bunch. Just saying, man. It's Honesty Wednesday for me. I'm being honest with myself and with the listeners.
No, you're not. You're not being honest. You don't think we're going 1-11. You just don't, man.
I think that there's a definite possibility.
Well, you're walking it back already a little bit. Speaking of the front seven, I thought it was interesting yesterday, and I think a lot of us probably thought this was going to have to happen once Ignat and those guys left. Quay Crouch moving to inside linebacker, and I think that's a move you have to make, even though he was getting a lot of reps on the outside this year. I think this is a move for the present and the future. For the present, like, if something happens to Henry T., or Betuli, you're going to need somebody that you can stick in there that isn't a walk-on or Aaron Beasley or something like that, or J.J. Peterson for that matter. And second of all, next year, looking ahead, like Crouch and Toto are going to have to be your middle linebackers. They're going to have to be your
Scott
guys.
Scott Peterson.
Yeah, so I think you got to go ahead and get him ready. Practice there in the spring. I think that's a smart move. I think it's a
What's
move
What's Peterson
of
look like this year?
He's absent from class and has not shown up yet.
Whoa.
J.J. Peterson? He played in the Chattanooga game.
No, I'm saying I was trying to make a – he's absent. He's not there.
He's not there?
Yes,
oh,
he's
like
there.
Mentally absent?
Yeah,
like,
just he's not playing well enough. He's not practicing well enough.
You said he wasn't going to class and he was absent.
I put that in a – okay, all right, my God. Yes, he's
I'm not
to
trying.
Class.
I'm just I'm like, –
yes, he's going to class,
you're bear. Telling breaking –
Tricky news.
I mean, he's in the telling me J.J. Peterson left the team. That's how I was taking it. Sorry.
No, it's not.
Basketball ticket sales. As I said the Kentucky game and Auburn game are already sold out. Over 15,000 season tickets sold. It's going to be another rocking year at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena.
I mean, only a certain amount of tickets remaining for Florida, Wisconsin, Memphis. One other one. I mean, they'll sell it out. I mean, they'll have 6 sellouts in the next 2 weeks before they play Eastern
Memphis
New Mexico.
Memphis isn't a sellout yet?
Not yet.
No, it will be. I'm
but
surprised.
You know why Kentucky sold out? Because you got Kentucky fans probably bought the Vol Pass just where they can come for the one game.
Some of them. I think Tennessee fans probably buy it, too.
No, I agree with you on that. I'm saying that I think that's why it sold out so quick. Because I would have thought the Memphis game would have sold out quicker than Kentucky.
Nah.
Yeah,
I mean if you're Memphis one's eating up. That
I would rather go to.
Up, but
I would rather go to that one. I mean, that's the biggest game on the schedule this year, in my opinion. Is Memphis at home?
Not even because of rankings, just because
of the fist clinch and stuff.
Yeah, it's a rivalry and in the rankings and Penny and Like, it's going to be just an absolutely huge
ESPN
game.
Probably going to be a night game.
This was funny. Not really news, but just amusing. The Tennessee football Twitter account.
Oh gosh, they did it.
What are you doing, man? Just tone deaf. The 3 hours ago at Vol Football Twitter account, all eyes on us. TV audience up 51% from last year's game in the same window. Best Saturday audience this season since week zero. They're talking about the Georgia game. They are touting.
Thank you, Georgia.
They are touting the fact that the ratings were up for the Georgia game as if we had anything to do about it. Yeah. Well, we might have had something to do with it. Some of our fans probably stayed home who would otherwise have gone to the game and watched it on TV.
40% probably. 30-40% Tennessee.
And look, I don't want to pile on here. It's got to be hard to be Vol social media account managers.
No, it's not. Put some pictures out. Put some videos out like they did with them running through the tee and get people excited that way. Don't make yourself look dumb by putting out a tweet like that. Well, tell me that's not the first thing that comes to your mind. It's like, man, that's pretty dumb.
I mean, I had to read it a couple of times. I'm thinking, surely they're not
I feel bad for them.
Surely they're not talking about the Georgia game.
Yeah, they were.
Who did they play last year at this time that they're comparing it to?
I don't know. I don't know, man. Not a good look. And, yeah, they got roasted by when your own fans are telling you to delete your account, you know, probably not a very good tweet. All right, that is the Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group. Real estate the right way. Bo Kregner's been doing real estate here in East Tennessee for years, and if you've got any questions about selling your home, about finding a new home, anything real estate related, well, you need to call Bo at the Kregner Group. 865-742-1035 is your number. That's 742-1035. Set up your free consultation. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, committed to delivering the highest quality real estate services possible. Folks, if you got any questions about what it might take to sell your home, what it's worth, what the market is like, where the good homes are, good school districts, anything, call Bo today, 742-1035. Or again, BoKnowsHouses.com. That's BoKnowsHouses.com for Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, doing real estate the right way. Let's get a phone call here quickly. J Train is up first today on the drive. Hello, J Train.
What's going on today, fellas?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Pretty good. You guys are some Debbie Downers, man. Come on. I think we did okay. We played when you're undersized and young, undermanned. Heart and soul will get you a long way. You know what I mean? And they played with heart and soul the other night. And I think if they can do that, they're going to be okay.
Well, I think if they could do that the rest of the way, I think they're going to win some games.
If we could get to six and six. 6-6, that'd be awesome. Awesome. Get a bowl game. Hey, I've got family that lives just right across the line at Fort Oglethorpe and down in that area, and they're Georgia fans. And they had a big party all the time. They were watching the game on Tennessee and on TV, and they were all worried. They thought, man, they're playing at Neyland Stadium. Wow, because look at them. I mean, even though we weren't tackling real well, three guys would hit them that couldn't tackle until they slowed them down and got them out of bounds. And you know what I mean? At least they're going after them.
Yeah, but you know what? Nobody tackles well anymore. And actually, the stats, I don't know what they're like now, but Tennessee was one of the top tackling teams in the SEC as of a couple of weeks ago. Nobody tackles well because nobody practices anymore. You can't have full contact practice.
Look at the Auburn, Florida.
Plus, you got to watch getting targeting, too. If you're going to go after somebody full speed, you can get a targeting call in a heartbeat, you know?
So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure Georgia fans are sitting there watching Juwan Jennings, you know, just drag the entire pile 10 yards, thinking, man, why can't we get this guy down? It's just, hey, man, it's the rules are all designed to make offenses look good. And, you know, that's Georgia, man. You just got to snap and clear. Mississippi State is a completely different team.
Exactly.
That is a highly winnable game, and I think you're right, J-Train. I mean, Tennessee fans need to snap out of it, create a home field advantage for your team Saturday because, you know, you think it's bad now. You think folks are in their feelings about it now. Lose Saturday, get drilled by Bama, you know, make it a four-game losing streak at that point.
They come home and play South Carolina on Halloween weekend.
It can always get worse, as we found out here.
Something else I'd like to say. The other day they were showing some video on SEC Nation of Coach Harper, Kelly Harper. It reminds me of past somebody out there screaming, yelling out on the court with that chin stuck out. I'm telling you, Philip Fulmer made a great hire when he hired her to be women's basketball coach, so they're going to be back.
You know, I saw Fulmer making that comparison, and he kind of, you know, hey, you know, it's a little bit early, but this is what I think. I thought the same thing when I saw the clips of her coaching. Now, I'm not saying that she's going to have a fourth of the career that Pat had. Oh, no. I'm not even saying she'll
never be another Pat Summit.
But there is, you know, just the Southern accent and the, like, you go back and look at the clip, she's like, no, this is a physical drill. You're too soft, you know, mm-hmm. And just like, it's like, wow, that's definitely with her accent and everything. I mean, it was reminiscent of Pat.
Look what she did with that undersized Missouri State team.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about what she's got coming back versus the rest of the league and stuff like that. So obviously, it's going to take her.
Should be top six in the league.
In the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see what happens there, but it's going to be interesting. Jay Trent, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you.
Good balls, man.
All right, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show live this afternoon at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. Oh, man. Do I really have to wait till 6 to get a Harvest Fest?
No. What are you waiting for?
You guys want to tell me if I went ahead and got one right now?
I like we're on radio. We're good.
You start day drinking? Where we're at?
It's 3:30, 5 o'clock somewhere, you know.
All right.
In London, it's 8:30.
It is. 5 hours ahead.
See?
Stay with
You're
us.
Good.
The drive continues. Fan Run Radio, back with more after this.
Now, back to The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.
And we're back. Fox Sports Knoxville. The drive continues live at Smoky Mountain Brewery. Russell, Bear, and Trey with you. Come on out and join us. Good to see Brad from Twitter, our first Fan Run listener here, having a cold beverage. Looks like he's got a Mountain Light over there that he's enjoying.
B-Rose 18.
B-Rose 18 on Twitter. Coming out and saying hello. Always good to meet Twitter followers. Come on out and join us here on a beautiful Wednesday at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. 865-546-8200, your number. If you want to get on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline, 546-8200. A couple of lines available.
Russell, are you nervous about tonight at 5:05?
You know, I mean, obviously I want the Braves to win. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've watched every game this series or anything like that. I've kind of kept up with it. Now, the other night, we were out at dinner, and when we left, the Braves were winning, I think, at the bottom of the ninth,
or the
top of the ninth. And then we got to the Blaze, and I look up, and they're in extra innings. It's like, oh, man, it kind of felt like they had it made. And you just feel like Atlanta, all the pressure that's going to be on them at home tonight. Cards have been there before, and, boy, it just feels like – not a good vibe for the Braves headed into this one, but it's a young group. You know, they probably
erase it.
I don't even know if they feel the tension sometimes. So who knows?
It'd be fun tonight to watch.
Braves need this one because you know what the narrative will be if they don't get it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But the Cardinals are starting their ace. They're number one, and who are the Braves starting?
They are starting Fulton, Fultonevich, the guy who shut him out in game two.
Isn't that the same guy, though?
It's the same matchup, Flaherty versus Fultonevich.
Did they send that guy down to the minor leagues at some point this year?
Fulty?
Yeah.
No, he's been one of their best pitchers.
You sure that's who's starting?
Yes.
It should be a good game tonight. It should be. I don't know. I'll be able to, when I get home from Pruitt's presser, it'll probably be in the sixth inning or so, but I look forward to at least
It starts at 5 o'clock. So yeah. Come
It'll
on
be
out
on every TV. I
yeah,
imagine.
come on out, watch it with us down here at Smoky Mountain Brewery. Brett on Twitter had a question he wanted us to address on the show today.
Okay.
With the season almost half over, in your opinion, what assistant coaches aren't cutting it and are most likely gone after this season? What coaches' contracts are up after this year? And then he had a follow-up to those ones.
I can tell you that real quick. Rocker, Rump, Winky.
Those guys are gone?
Their contract's coming up.
Isn't everybody's contract except for Chaney, Ansley, and I think they did give Niedermeyer a
and
raise.
T.
And T is new.
Yeah.
So the other six.
Just three. Man,
Winky can grab his trophy and go.
Friend.
Yeah, but he ain't getting rid of Friend, so.
He ain't getting rid of his best friend.
No, he can put him in some analyst role or something.
Even though the dude is getting in a brawl on the sideline during the game, did that really happen?
I didn't say anything.
Huh?
I didn't say it.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody around town that saw it, half the damn stadium saw it.
I had a pretty good source. I'm not going to obviously say who it is. But told me that he was right in the middle of that, and it was a GA or something, and
yeah.
That Juwan was actually peacemaker trying to break it up.
That's why he was standing at the end of the sideline.
Listen, man, I'm not – I know it's football, and this is macho, and guys getting fights all the time. You can't have your offensive line coach getting a friggin' fist fight on the sideline during the middle of the Georgia game. That's not professional.
No.
That's a sign of a program that's out of control, quite frankly.
If I was a head coach, he'd be gone after this year. But he's not because he's Pruitt's best buddy.
And I know Pruitt, said, hey, I'm glad to see somebody showing some fight and some fire around here.
I don't know if he meant his head coach, assistant coach.
But, yeah, I mean, that's
– Who was the jumping receiver coach point? We had? Kevin from Miami.
Beard?
Yeah, Kevin Beard. What year was that? Was that Butch's
last year?
Yeah.
What about it?
You're in big trouble if you've got assistant coaches fighting players.
So,
on the sideline during
but
the
also
end of
the
game.
Quote about I'm glad somebody's shown some fire around here.
Well, buddy, you're in charge of starting the fire, my friend.
If only you're in position to do something about it. Are you the head football coach here?
It's like when he was asked post game and I was sitting there and I was like, wow, he didn't answer the question. The question was, did you see any juice from your players? He's like, I don't know. I had my headset on, I couldn't tell. It's like, wait a minute.
So, who do we think is gone? I think Rocker, Rump,
I think
Winky are gone.
I think Friend could be.
Winky hasn't used his IMG connection. And let's be honest. Winky was brought in to handle some quarterbacks.
Well, he got Ockerigany last year.
Okay, but...
I mean, that's...
Okay.
You know, like Ockerigany?
No, but then he already had ties to Knoxville.
Yeah.
So, let's not act like he went
I think... Even more so than that is the quarterbacks have regressed under his – or Garantano certainly regressed under his tutelage.
I don't know what kind of offseason they had together.
So, yeah, I don't – that's not a big loss. I think you can upgrade there. I think you can upgrade Rocker has been disappointing to me. I expected more out of him, both in terms of player development and recruiting.
Yeah, but also I think Rocker, just from talking to people – is just as uncomfortable here right now as maybe the position is making him uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of guys are happy.
No, who's he saying what's making him uncomfortable? The head coach? Is that what we're all getting at here?
Well, I mean,
hard to work for?
You're 1-4. Yeah. It's not fun. Tracy Rocker's a winner. He won the Outland Trophy at Auburn, man. He's used to being a part of winning programs. This is not what he signed up for. And yeah, I mean, on top of that, if the head coach, your boss, is kind of a taskmaster, to put it very mildly, then it's not. I mean, he doesn't need this. He can go coach somewhere else. So
he can go to Colorado, coach at Mill.
So yeah, I think you're definitely going to see a lot.
When's the last time you saw Rump's name involved heavy in recruiting or Rocker?
It's a good question. I don't know.
You know what I mean?
And
we got GAs that are doing better jobs on recruiting than some of our coordinators or coaches.
Well, and the other thing I'll be interested to watch is T. Martin. And, you know, he not necessarily being unhappy or anything, but it's T. Martin, man. He's a nationally known recruiter. He had us on and some pretty good prospects until the season went belly up. And
yeah, we've lost Rakeem.
He's been a coordinator before. He's going to have opportunities to move on. So we're going to have to, I don't know, if Winky goes with moving him to quarterbacks and making him assist, you know, co-coordinator or something like that, giving him one of those titles, would that be enough to entice him to stay? If he has a chance to go and be the play caller.
Here's what I'll say about T. Now that his son is doing so well at Catholic early on with baseball and football,
yeah,
I think they're going to try to get him out of high school before they move again.
Okay, well, maybe that works in our favor. He's a sophomore. He's got two more years.
Boy, yeah.
Be good to get a couple more recruiting classes out of him.
That's just kind of what I've been hearing a little bit, that, you know, they don't want to make another move.
Let's get Chris in here. Chris, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Hey, Chris, doing well. Thanks.
Y'all hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you, man. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I wanted to make a comment about something you guys were talking about earlier, talking about the Braves tonight. You were touching on Mike Fultonevich. He actually did go down to AAA for about a month or so midseason. He struggled heavily early on in the year. I mean, he was the Braves' best pitcher last year. I mean, he was an all-star borderline Cy Young candidate last year. But he, after he came back from AAA, he was pretty strong, and he's been one of the best pitchers since. But, I just think, you know, really the key tonight is just being able to overcome Jack Flaherty. And, you know, he's been incredible for the Cardinals kind of the last half of the year, and I mean, really all year. But, I think getting on him early, and I know Adam Duvall for the Braves has had some success against Flaherty in the past, and I guess he's going to be in the starting lineup tonight. But, I think jumping on Flaherty early is going to be the key. But I just wanted to touch on a little – I know you guys were talking about that. I just wanted to touch on that a little bit.
I think it'd be a good matchup.
Yeah, I mean, hard to beat a guy twice, I know, but –
I think with all the energy that's going to be packed in, at least they didn't make this like a 3 o'clock game. Make it a 5 o'clock game. Place be sold out. The battery's already packed. I've seen pictures. I think you add in a lot of key factors into tonight. I think atmosphere could be one.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned it, too. This is a young team who maybe in their right mind, they just don't know.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if you look at the Cardinals and Braves, I think these are two different squads from what – you know, the Cardinals teams that won those World Series and the Braves teams that struggled to ever win in the playoffs. I mean, now, of course, the Cardinals still got Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright, but they're not as prominent, I guess, to play. Well, Yadier probably still is, but not Wainwright. You know, they're not as prominent as they were back in the day. But, the Braves, you got all these young kids. I mean, I think they've got, you know, probably a kind of on a clean slate here. I don't know if they even really know about those things back in the 90s. I think these are two different, completely different squads, and I think they've got different mindsets. So,
big opportunity, though. Big opportunity to kind of shift the narrative, and huge game tonight. All right, thanks, Chris. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. If you want to hop on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. More of your phone calls on the way. It's The Drive live this afternoon from Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. Back with more right after this.
Yo. The Drive rages on.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio, wrapping up hour number one of the show. Coming up here, top of the 4 o'clock hour, we'll send things back to the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios and Jake Lester for the top four at four. They're going to be joined live on location here by a very special guest, Dr. Stephen Malone of Knoxville Smiles. You've been hearing the commercials this week, and we're going to talk to him about his practice over there on Ebenezer Road here in West Knoxville. They've got a great practice there with a couple of docs who can really help you out if you've got any dental issues going on, and everything from just, you know, your teeth cleaning to you need wisdom teeth pulled,
crowns,
all that stuff. They can handle it. So we'll talk to Dr. Malone coming up here in just a little bit. In the meantime, you want to join the show, 865-546-8200 is your number, 546-8200. The second part, side question from Brett, he was asking about the coaches and coaching movement on the staff. He said, if Winkie is gone, would you rather get another offensive coach or just let Chaney coach QBs and get an assistant for a different position?
I don't think you're going to get much work out of Chaney as a QB coach.
Why not?
Because he's trying to run the offense. I mean, he's, you know, he was brought in to be a CEO, walk around the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean,
now him trying to focus just on quarterbacks while also running the offense.
So we've got six offensive guys and four defensive guys, right?
Correct.
With Pruitt being core defense, obviously.
That's what Kiffin always has always done. Even, I mean, Kiffin, when he was an offensive coordinator at Alabama, he's their quarterbacks coach. I mean, my thing with Chaney would be, when's the last time he coached quarterbacks?
Probably last year at Georgia, right?
Was he the QB coach at Georgia?
Pretty sure.
Because I think they had a GA also working with him. I'd rather Tennessee use that position.
Always been a quarterback coach wherever he's been.
You know, I guess the first thought is maybe you move T. Martin over there. You can move David Johnson back to receivers where he's probably more comfortable.
And get Jake Graham.
Well, go get an ace recruiter for a running backs coach. I mean, anybody can coach running backs. Just go find the best recruiter you can possibly get and say, here's $500,000 a year. Go coach our running backs and get us players.
And the good thing about this is, and I don't mean a good thing, people not having contracts renewed, but you don't owe these guys anything. Like, you can cut bait, you can start over, you can get new coaches and not owe them a dime.
Yeah, but
going into year three, retooling your staff, it's worked out great for us the last three times we've done it.
Well, I'm saying the opportunity. There's going to be coaches that are gone from the staff at the end of the year.
The problem is, though.
Period.
Who is going to want to jump on what is perceived to be a sinking ship?
Agreed. He's got to go find one of his buddies and get him a 2 to 3 year contract where they know they're going to get paid if they get let go.
My thing was.
I'm being negative. I've seen this movie before. I know how it ends.
You know, Rocker and Rumpf, we went the name route in assembling this staff, and it didn't work out. I think Pruitt, if he's going to be this guy that is hard to work for, he needs to go and find some young guys. He needs to find some more Niedermeyers. Who was this Niedermeyer guy before we hired him?
I didn't know who he was.
He needs to go find some more guys like that who are chomping at the bit, will do anything just to get an opportunity, and will put up with all levels of demanding, you know, coaching from Jeremy Pruitt, because they love that. That's what he's going to have to do, because big name coaches are probably not going to want to come here if it's perceived that it's a hot seat year for Jeremy Pruitt, which it almost certainly will be. All right, we got to take a quick time out right now. We are live today, Smoky Mountain Brewery, hour number two of the show coming up. Stay with us.